Welcome to Hebrew Club. We are right in the middle of the story of Saul and Samuel. And remember, Saul made his fatal mistake in chapter 13. And we continue with the story of Saul in chapter 14. I thought I'd hand this to you. I got two things here. First of all, I found a picture of a Pim, a P-I-M. Remember in the last story, all the Israelites had to go to the Philistines to get everything sharpened, and it cost them a Pim. One Pim, or I can't remember how many Pims. But a Pim was a part of, yeah. In verse 21. They actually didn't know how to translate that word. The King James Version has a different word for it, actually. And then they found this weight, and it's two-thirds of a shekel, they reckon. And so here's a picture of it. And also below is a map of some of the events for chapter 14. And you'll see Geba and Michmash, which remember from the last chapter, Michmash was where the Philistines were garrisoned. And so there's a Philistine garrison there at Michmash, and we'll learn about that. So I'll pass this around, and you guys can kind of just pass it down as I'm reading. So we're going to start with verse 1 of chapter 14. Vayahi hayom, vayomer Yonatan ben Shaul el Hana'ar, nose telav, lekaven na bera el matzav pelishtim. Okay, and the day came. Notice here you have a use of the definite article with yom that's rather distinctive between Hebrew and English. A lot of times the use of the article overlaps, but there are some distinctions. And so sometimes in English, a lot of translators will just go one day for this for translation, one day and then following what happened. But we can translate a little more fully by something like a certain day came, okay? And so Hayom sometimes translates in English what we would say a certain day, or sometimes even just an indefinite article, a day, all right? But the author has a definite day in mind, and that's why grammarians suggest that they use the article here, okay? So a certain day came, and Jonathan, son of Saul, said to Hana'ar, the youth, who was carrying his kelab, his weapons, I guess. He was his caddy, let's say. Except he didn't golf, I suppose. Nose is a call participle, notice. This guy's identified throughout as the guy who carried his vessels. So the nahar, the one carrying his vessels. Now notice the next form. Leka venabera. We've seen this before. This is from the root halak. Notice it's a call imperative. Masculine singular. Followed by a cohortative, all right, first common plural. Now notice that there's a hey on the imperative. So notice you have a hey on the imperative and a hey on the cohortative. Very often you will see that on a word like lake. You'll see leka commonly. Remember, when the word following it is a first person verb, as it is here, all right? And remember, the hey functions in the imperatives. It seems to function as an indicator when the speaker wants to emphasize an action done for his benefit, or with reference to the speaker, who in this case is Jonathan. Okay, here also leka might function simply as an exclamatory particle, something like we would say, very colloquial, "Come on, let's go." So you might want to translate it more idiomatically. Come on, let's go over to the Philistine garrison, the Matzav Pelishtim. All right? That na bera, notice then, is from avar, call cohortative. Matzav, we saw from the last chapter, is a garrison. Okay? So continuing from Pelishtim, asher me aver halaz, which is, now here's what this is literally, very woodenly, which is min from aver, beyond, that's a noun, beyond, halaz, is an alternate form of the demonstrative pronoun, this. All right, but I think the best way to handle this is just to read both of those words together as one. So he would say, which is over there. It's literally, which is from beyond the this, namely, beyond this side. But you wouldn't translate that. You would say, which is over there. So he said to his bearer, come on, let's go over to the Philistine garrison, which is over there. Okay. U le'aviv lo higid. But to his father, lo higid. He did not report it. Okay, notice that that's from Nagad, it feel perfect, which you've seen plenty of times before. So he didn't tell his father. So, you know, very colloquially we would say, but he didn't tell his father. All right. Questions on verse 1? All right, now notice verse 2. What doesn't this start with, Beth? Well, you can say almost anything.
Without a...
It doesn't start with the vav consecutive, notice. Doesn't start with the... So we're here, actually, this kind of functions to fill in some gaps here. Notice it's reporting certain events or circumstances. And very commonly in Hebrew, that's when you're going to break a vav consecutive in narrative. So here you get some more information about Saul's activities. Okay, so it's kind of reintroducing Saul back into the narrative. Veshaul Yoshev Biketzei HaGiva Taka HaRimon Asher Ben Migron. Okay, now Saul Yoshev was sitting, called participle. I'm translating it as a past progressive. Now Saul was sitting, it's literally, at the end of Giva. Okay, so we would say on the outskirts of Gibeah. That's the town. Okay. So he was, and probably sitting, he was living or dwelling, probably is better, at the outskirts of Gibeah. Taka HaRimon, under the pomegranate. Again, what are you talking about, the pomegranate? Here's the use of the definite article when the image is very vivid in the mind of the author. And someone said in our class, Beth, last week, I guess it was Elliot, made a good point that, you know, if this is a story that's retold orally, it'd be kind of really well known to people, the tree, so that the use of the article in this context is a little more natural, you know, because they would all know, okay, kind of what he's talking about. So he was under the pomegranate tree, which is Ben Migron. In Migron, again, another place near where he was dwelling. Okay, no one kind of knows where that is. All right. Veha'am, here's people, but we would probably translate more army. And the army which Imo was with him was Keshesh Meot Ish, about 600 men. Again, notice with the nouns like this, even if you have 600 or multiple, you use the singular noun. It's kind of, again, idiomatic. All right. Questions on verse 2 about anything? Okay. Verse 3. Here again, we're still getting some more circumstances is what's happening. Va Achia, that's the name of a person. Achia ben Achitu, the son of another person. Okay, so Achia, son of Achitu. Achi, what form is that? Achi, the root, the word is
brother,
and it's in construct. That's why you get that E. You know, some of those constructs have that E connective yod. So son of Achitu, brother of Ichavod. You've heard of Ichavod, Ichabod before from 421. The son of Pinchas, the son of Eli. Remember, Eli had a son Pinchas, whose wife gave birth the same when the ark was taken. And she named him Ichabod because where is the glory? Where is the kavod? Because the ark was taken. So it's given this whole kind of lineage here. Okay, priest of the Lord at Shiloh. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's stop here. Let's go back. Achia, son of Achitu, brother of Ichabod, son of Pinchas, son of Eli, priest of the Lord in Shiloh, was carrying the ephod. All right, so notice it gives us this detail, almost as if to say Saul wasn't with Samuel anymore. You wonder if there's an implication that Saul was asking for divine direction here, because remember, the Philistines seemed to be threatening in the area. So, I mean, who knows kind of the background that led to this little comment? I mean, you know, we try to, you don't want to press too hard to fill in the gaps, but it's kind of an interesting detail as to the relationship between Saul now and the priest. Okay? Veha'am, and the people, lo yada, did not know Ki Halak Yochanan. Now again, probably this is referring to the force that was with Saul. So, you know, Saul's army did not know that Yochanan had gone. Halak. Okay. Any questions up through that? And I notice we get another kind of little bit of information here as he's building up to the story in verse 4. Uvein ha ma berot asher bekesh Yochanan la avor al matzah pelishtim. And between the ma berot, see the root there, avar? It means to cross over. You add a mem to it, it becomes a noun. The places where you cross over, we would call them mountain passes or paths. Okay? So, between the passing places, which Yonatan, which Jonathan Bikesh sought, that's a PL perfect from Bakash, where Jonathan sought La'avor to pass over Al Matzah Pelishtin to the Philistine garrison, to the garrison of the Philistines. Okay? So, between the passes, there was a Shein Hasela. It's literally, there was a tooth of the rock. Shein is tooth, but it means kind of this crag of rock, right? Something, a crag of rock. A rocky crag. Okay? Me ha ever mizeh, ve Shein Hasela, me ha ever mizeh. Okay, now look at that again. So, let me read the whole thing. Shein hasela me ha ever mizeh, v'shein ha sela me ha ever mizeh. All right, that's a lot of Hebrew for very simple English. All right, okay. So where Jonathan sought to cross over to the garrison of the Philistines, there was a rocky crag on one side. That's me ha ever mizeh, and a crag of rock or a rocky crag. Me ha ever mizeh, on the other side. Okay, so in other words, where you had to cross, there was evidently these big outcroppings of rock. And I guess that the author's trying to say that you know, the place to cross was difficult and dangerous, and you were vulnerable, you know, all those kinds of things. Okay, not because they even have names. No, it's v'shem ha'echad, and the name of the one, and it's referring to the rocky crag. The name of the first one was Botzeitz, which I don't know if it means, some suggest it means slippery or something like that, but this is the proper name. And the name of the Echad of the other one was Senet, thorny, thorn bush. So one was maybe slippery, one was thorny, I don't know. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but those are the names of the two crags of rocks. Okay, I don't know, we do the same thing, right? Mountain climbers know the names of all these places where they got to go. Questions at the end of verse 4. Okay, verse 5. He's Vashen Ha'echad, and the tooth, the one, again, the outcropping, the one was a matzok. That really means a pillar, mitzafon, from the north. So literally, the one crag, rocky crag, was a pillar from the north. Some translations smooth that out to say rose up from the north. Okay, Mul Mikmash, opposite Mikmash. And so on the map you can see, okay, kind of where that is. And Ha'echad, the other, Minneged, was from the south. Okay, and again they're assuming it rose up or jutted up from the south. Opposite Geva. So notice there are these two places. Mikmash was where the Philistines were. Jonathan and his arms bearer were Geba, and there's these two rocky outcroppings that were rising up probably on either side of where they had to cross. Notice that the whole scene here indicates that perhaps the whole force of Israel was kind of in disarray. Saul was in one place, kind of far removed from where Jonathan and his arms bearer, I don't know how far removed, but in a different place, you know. And like I said, they didn't know where Jonathan was. Okay? A question through verse 5? All right, verse 6. Vayomer, now we get back to the story. See, notice we go back to a Vav consecutive after all these kind of event reporting clauses. Each one of those, one right after another, and they're not developed in any way. Notice it kind of goes from one kind of thought to another. And that's not uncommon. We actually saw it in the previous chapter where that happens.
Could you use the word then?
Yeah, well, here notice it's almost and. He's just kind of giving you a description where Saul was, and then he describes where these rock, you know, this whole terrain, you know, he gives you kind of quite a bit of detail about the terrain. All right. And so now we're back kind of going to the main story. So, Vayomer Yonatan, so Jonathan said to Hana'ar, Nosekelab, to the youth who was carrying his stuff, his caddy. And now he says it again. Very nice, easy Hebrew. We should do this for Hebrew readings. Lekaveh Nabara. Come on, let's cross over El Matzav. Okay, now he gets a little more forceful. To the garrison of the Arelim Ha'ela. You know what Arelim is? Uncircumcised. Okay, so notice it's a pejorative term here, obviously. He's not praising them. Let's go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised guys. All right. Ulai Yase Yahweh Lanu. Perhaps Yahweh will work for us. This is great. Jonathan's whole attitude here is really interesting. I mean, a man of faith, you can see what's going to happen here. So perhaps Yahweh will work for us, or maybe will do something for us. Okay? Now notice what he says. Ki ein la Yahweh matzor lehoshia berav o bimat. For there is not to the Lord matzar, a hindrance. This is again a root that you probably don't know. Atzar means to enclose or to... to enclose, to bind. So you add a mem to it, it becomes a hindrance, something that keeps you in. So, for there is not to the Lord a hindrance, lehoshia, to what? What's the root?
Yashat,
to save. Hipfil, remember we, oh no, never mind, that's a different class. It's your class. We had the nifal of Yashat yesterday, and it normally occurs in the hipfil. Okay? For there is no hindrance to the Lord to save berav o bimat, by great or by small. So by a great thing or by a small thing. All right. So nothing can stop him from doing it. Any questions on verse 6? All right. Verse 7. Vayomer lo nosei kelav. And so we got to get a name for this guy. And the bearer of his stuff said to him, Asay. So he also sought advice from his caddy. He gives him the imperative. Asay. Do it. Asay. Call imperative. Asay. Kol asher bilvaveka. Do all which is in your heart. Netelah. Stretch out for yourself. Again, a call imperative from Nata. Okay? Hineni, behold, I, Imach, am with you, kil vaveka, as your heart. That's a nice way to put your friendship, see? Look, I am with you as your heart. Verse 8, Vayomer Yehonatan, and Jonathan said, Hine anachnu ovrim el ha'anashim. And Jonathan said, look, we... Ovrim. We're going to cross over. Notice it's a participle. He's referring to the future. We're going to cross over El Hanashim, to the men. Ve'niglinu, and we will... Actually, it's... You can notice that this is a nifal from what root? Gala, to be revealed. To reveal in the call, to be revealed in the nifal. Okay? And we will... And so you want to translate this. Behold, we are going to cross over to the men, and we will be seen, almost have to say by them, all right? We will be revealed to them, if you want to be more literal. Okay? Now notice what he says in verse 9. Im ko yomru eleinu. If they say thus to us, eleinu, if thus they say to us, domu. Okay, can you guys see the root of this? You may or may not be familiar with the root. This is one of those geminate roots, damam, to be silent or to be still. It's a call imperative. All right? So if thus they say to us, stay still, ad hagienu, until, this is until we reach you. This is from what root? Hagienu. You know the root. Naga. Very good. Naga. Notice that it is a hifil infinitive construct from naga with the first common plural suffix. Okay? So stay until literally stay until our reaching you. Right, so if we stress the verbal aspects of the infinitive, you would just translate it, stay until we reach Alehem you. Okay? The Amadnu, then we will stand Tachtenu, under us, literally. Stand where we are, basically. Stand in our place. Okay? Velo na'ala, and we will not go up Alehem to them. Okay? So if thus they say to us, stay still until we touch you or reach you, okay? Then we will stay in our place and we will not go up Alehem to them. Okay? Ve'im, but if ko yomru, but if thus they say, alu aleinu, come up aleinu to us. This is from Allah, another imperative. Come up to us. Okay? Then alinu. Now notice this is a very good practice for recognizing verbs and the difference between verbs and other words. Alinu is from what root? Allah. And it means to go up. This is a call, vav plus perfect, first common plural. So notice you have alu, which is the call imperative from Allah. Then you have aleinu, which is the preposition al. And then you have the verb again, Allah. This is why some guys hate Hebrew. Phil's not one of those. He loves Hebrew. Because it all looks the same, right? And you're talking about little dots that help you distinguish. And so you got to kind of go slow. So, but if thus they say, come up aleinu to us, then we will go up. Ki netanam Yahweh. For Yahweh has given them, put them. Remember, natan and seem, the meanings very often switch. Has put them, so this is a call, perfect, third masculine singular, plus third masculine plural suffix. That's why you get the pointing that you have. And you'll see this word a few more times in our narrative. Yahweh has put them into Yadenu, our hand. And this, to us, is the sign. So that's great. He calls the shots. He calls the sign. I think that's amazing. Okay? I don't think we would do that. All right. So, Vayigalu Shnehem. So the two of them, notice that this is from Gala again, Nifal, imperfect, Vav, consecutive. Third, masculine plural. Okay? So the two of them revealed themselves. So they uncovered themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, Matzah Pelishtim. Now here we go. We're all waiting to see what the Philistines say. Vayomru Pelishtim. And the Philistines said, Hine Ivrim Yotzim. Look, the Ivrim, the Hebrews, Yotzim, are coming out. That's a participle from Yatzah. Are coming out min hachorim, from the holes. Remember in the last chapter they all scattered into the core, to the holes? To the holes where hit kabusham, where they have hidden. See? This is a hit pile from kava. Remember, sometimes you can have nifal from this root, and sometimes a hit pile. This is a hit pile. So notice they're kind of scorning. Look, Hivrim Yotzi Min Hachorim Asher Hit Chavu Sham. Okay, now, here comes. Vaya'anu Anshe. And the men of the Matzava and the men of the garrison, Ya'anu, answered. This is from the root Ana, to answer. Call, Vav, consecutive imperfect. And the men of the garrison answered. Et Yonatan, Jonah, Jonathan, the et Noseke Lav, and the guy bearing, taking his stuff. At least they didn't have not are here. So it's getting a little better. Vayomru. And they said, Alu Eleinu, come up to us. Okay, here's good. Ve'nodia et kem davar. This is from Yada. Not the call, but the hifil. Hifil, imperfect, first common plural. It's a cohortative form. Okay, so Alu, come up to us so that we might tell you davar, so that we might tell you something. Literally, so we might make known to you davar, something. I love it. How stupid they think they are. Come on over. We're going to tell you something. I love this. Okay. Vayomru Yotanan. Then Jonathan said, El no shekelah, to the guy carrying his stuff. Ale acharai. Come up after me. Here's that imperative from Allah again. Come up acharai, after me. Ki netanam Yahweh. Because Yahweh has given them Beyad into the hand of Yisrael. Alright. That's where we will stop. And Tom will pick it up next week graciously for me. I'm very thankful for that. At verse 13. And we'll get a little farther into what happens to the Philistines and Israel. Alright. Any other questions about the text? Alright. Thank you very much for your attention. Have a good week.